Good evening. Good evening. Welcome to Prairie Village Church of Christ. I want you to know how much of an honor and a privilege I feel that it is for me to be able to assemble together here tonight with you and in the presence of God and to be able to worship Him and to be able to pray to Him, which is worship as well, study His Word, which is worship as well. So thankful that we have been given another opportunity to do this. A lot of people look at church attendance, assembling with the saints, as something they have to do, as an obligation. It's a privilege, folks. It's an honor. It's something that we've been blessed with. God has given us another opportunity to worship Him and praise Him and honor Him and learn from Him. And we need to take advantage of just every one of those opportunities that He gives us. One of the things we're going to be talking about tonight is developing good habits, good patterns in our life. Let's form the habit, the good habit, of just being at as many worship services as we possibly can. Because I'm going to tell you this much, and I know it's true, and God's Word tells me that it's true, so I know I'm speaking right where He speaks. And that is, we need it. We absolutely need these things that we do. God doesn't. He's perfect and awesome and wonderful, whether we bow down before Him or not. We need it. So thankful you've made this good choice tonight. I would encourage you to pick up your Bible and open to Philippians chapter 4. The New Testament letter of Paul to the Philippians in chapter 4. We're going to read verses 4 through 9. Philippians 4, 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right and whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. God wants us to be at peace. And He tells us here, don't worry. Don't be anxious. Don't fret over the problems of this life. There are a good many things in this world that make us anxious, that causes us anxiety, that causes us to worry. I'm not going to enumerate those things. I'm not going to give you a list of those. You know the things that trouble you, the things that trouble your family members and your loved ones. They're everywhere. The world abounds with these types of issues. But people react to their worries and anxieties in a variety of ways, don't they? Some people reach for the bottle. They reach for alcohol to medicate those issues. Some people reach for the pill bottle to medicate their anxieties. Now listen, some people have chemical imbalances and deficiencies, and they need their medical assistance to help them with these problems. The goal of this sermon tonight is to not have anyone abandon their meds and try to go it alone without help. You need those things. You need your medicines if you have a chemical imbalance. So please, don't stop taking your medicines. But listen, you're still going to benefit from this lesson if you will take these principles and practices and put them into place in your life. Even if you have a medical problem that you need assistance with, this will still improve your life greatly if you'll put these things into practice. Be that as it may, we say some people go to alcohol, some people turn to medicines, other people, they go to doctors, psychologists, therapists, counselors, a variety of other types of folks in this line of profession, gurus of all types, self-help books and manuals. Some people medicate their problems with other ways, with other substances like food, or with other things like sleep or work or sex or what have you. Just a number of things that people turn to try to alleviate their worries and their troubles and their anxieties. They sedate their fears. They escape their anxieties for a moment. And then after they've done that, they're faced with the same problems, only they're worse now. They've been exacerbated by the fact that guilt has been added for doing harmful things and shameful things to try to fix the problems that they never could fix with those particular methods. And they just made things worse. God tells us in the Bible the key to controlling our fears. Did you know that? He tells us right there in that passage we just read. The key to finding peace and controlling fear and anxiety and worry is all about thinking right. Fear control is all about thought control. Fear control is all about mind control. If you want to feel right, if you want to talk right, if you want to be right, act right, you got to think right. You have to get your thoughts going in the right direction. Listen, God doesn't shame us into abandoning our worries and fears. He doesn't treat us that way. He doesn't tell us to straighten up and fly right. He tells us what to do. He tells us the formula for making that right. Now, studies have suggested that the average person has about 10,000 thoughts per day. It's a lot of things flying around up there in that gray matter in our brains every single day. Now what we have here with all those thoughts flying around is the great potential for good and the great potential for harm. The great potential for damage, the great potential for profit. We need to harness those thoughts. We need to channel those energies into good, healthy, productive thoughts. God doesn't say, shame on you for worrying. I know a lot of people who become very ashamed, people who are in Christ, faithful Christians, but they worry about things. They become ashamed of that. They think God is just going to be so upset with them and He's going to think so little of them. That's not how God operates. He knows we're going to worry about things. That's why He teaches us how not to. He doesn't lay the hammer down on us. What He does is He says, get your thoughts under control. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, He says, dwell on positive things. Meditate on true and honorable and pure and right and lovely and excellent and virtuous things. He tells us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, He tells us to set our minds on the things above and not on the things that are on this earth. He's telling us to transform our way of thinking to the new, healthy, vibrant ways of thinking. To set our mind above, to change our mindset. Where do we set our thoughts and our minds? On the things of this earth? Or on higher, nobler, heavenly things? Those higher and holier and happier thoughts, those are the thoughts that are going to benefit us in this life. He tells us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 5, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Set your mind on the Spirit's things, the things He has revealed in His Word, the Bible specifically. Where have you set your mind? Where do you dwell? Where do you live? Mentally speaking, do you live, mentally speaking, below, lowly, earthly, fleshly places where negativity dwells and trouble and hardship? Or do you have the proper mindset? Have you set your affections and your minds and your thoughts on things above, where peace and love and joy and righteousness and truth dwells? Well, that's what the goal of this lesson tonight is, to get us to start thinking in those circles. What's the cure for anxiety? What's the cure for worry and depression? Very simply put, the cure is to change our thought patterns. It's right there. Right there in the Bible. Our brains, I don't know if you're aware of this, are pattern-making machines. Have you ever thought of your brain in that fashion? That it is something that forms patterns. How many things do you do in your daily life that are just completely out of routine and habit and you don't have to give any thought to it? You get up out of bed and you go and you brush your teeth and you comb your hair and you make breakfast and you don't even have to think about a lot of these things. It's just second nature to us. I found out today about how I take things for granted and just do things habitually. When I go in the bathroom, I don't even look at the wall switch. I just hit it, turn the light on. Well, we just had some electrical work done at the house. And I hit that switch, and it's different now. It's in a different place. It's got three switches there on the panel instead of one. So I banged my fingers three times trying to turn the light switch on today. I have to develop a new pattern. I actually have to stop and think about what I'm doing now. I hate it when that happens. But that's what our brains do. They're pattern-making machines. The things that we experience and dwell on, they lay down chemical pathways in our brains. Our brains get hardwired to revisit those scenes mentally because of the interactions of some things called synapses and neurotransmitters. Don't worry about what those things are, because I'm not even sure what they are. And I can't really explain it to you, but I know they're there and they work. And what happens is when we think about past negative experiences, automatically what that does is it triggers negative emotions. It's just proven that we're hardwired to respond that way. We don't have to think about it. If we're thinking negative thoughts, if we're dwelling on things that have happened in the past that are not pleasant experiences, automatically they trigger negative emotions. They provoke anger, sadness, worthlessness, shame. And then what we try to do is we go and try to make ourselves feel better, but actually we end up reinforcing those negative thought cycles. And that turns into a vicious cycle. And you see how we repeat these patterns over and over again? We revisit these paths that we've laid down in our minds. You look up there, it just kind of looks like circuits. It looks like a road map up there, doesn't it? And we just walk down memory lane thinking about those things that have happened in the past. And if they're negative, those emotions flood in, and we just reinforce those negative thoughts, and we repeat the same things over and over again. Let me give you an example. Someone tells you, maybe they told you this as a young person and throughout your life, maybe, that you're worthless, that you're no good, that you're not going to amount to anything. And you start to believe that. As a matter of fact, they convince you of that. So you're going to try to make yourself feel better. So you go out to your favorite shopping center, you go out to your favorite mall, because this is the way you make yourself feel better. You spend lots of money that you don't have. And you go and you charge up a bunch of merchandise on your credit card, and that makes you feel better for a little while. You got you some new clothes, new shoes, you got you a nice new radio, what have you, and this is pretty cool. I'm not so worthless after all. See, I can have some good things in my life. Well, then the credit card bill comes in a month later, and you have this astronomical credit card bill. On top, added to that, you have this interest charge that's just 20-30%. That's just ridiculous. And the next thing you know, you're financially ruined. You're bankrupt. And then you look at your bottom line, your bank statement, and you realize, yes, I am worthless. I never am going to amount to anything. Just like that guy said. See how that just reinforces those negative thoughts? You go and make it happen. You go and prove them right when you do that. You turn to a bottle of alcohol or a pill or a joint, a marijuana, whatever the case may be, to try to make yourself feel better when people make you feel bad. And what you do is you end up making a wreck of your life. You end up causing yourself just a world of harm physically, mentally, and emotionally. You stay up all night. You sleep all day. It affects your finances, your relationships. You look in the mirror one day and you wake up with a hangover and you look terrible and your hair's all a mess and your clothes are just shabby and you look horrible and you say, you know what, that guy's right, I am worthless. I'm a good for nothing. I'm never going to amount to anything in my life. You see how we do that to ourselves? With the way that we try to make ourselves feel better when those old negative thoughts arise in our minds, whether we put them there, whether other people put them there, whatever the case may be. What's the key to fixing this problem? Folks, the key is to break the cycle, to break that circle, to break the chains. It all starts with changing your mind, your thoughts, the things you dwell on. Now look, you can really and literally and actually rewire your brain. You can change the physical landscape of your brain. You can actually form healthy patterns on the cellular level of your brain. Those brain cells are called neurons. You can actually fire those neurotransmitters and form those synapses and make new healthy pathways, new healthy habits, form new and blessed and healthy patterns. We can do those things. Now God doesn't go into the scientific detail of that, but He knows what He's talking about when He tells us to renew our minds and to start setting our minds above and start thinking positive thoughts. He knows what He's talking about. He made our minds. He made our brains. He knows how they work. So, what we have here in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, is a thought process, a practice, and a promise. A thought process that the Lord wants us to employ, a way to start thinking in a new, healthy, vibrant way. A practice that He wants us to put in place in our life, and a promise that He makes to us if we'll do these things. And I want to examine these things closer with you this evening. First of all, He tells us to think on those positive things, those things which are true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and excellent. That's in verse 8 of Philippians chapter 4. Let's talk about true things first. Think on true things. This is the thought process. Let me ask you, how often do you focus on that which is false? Have you ever built for yourself a false reality? Just this fantasy world that everybody knows that it's you're living on cloud nine. You know it's not true. I'll give you an example. Sometimes we get in bad relationships and we just convince ourselves that the other person loves us. Everybody else knows they don't. We know in our heart of hearts that they don't. They take advantage of us. They abuse us. But we get so attached to this person that we will just... we'll make excuses for them. We'll stay with them, even to our own hurt. We'll rationalize the relationship, and we'll live a lie. We won't live in the truthful world. We'll accept the lie. Now listen, if you're in a bad relationship and you're married to that person, you have to stick that out, okay? Don't leave your husband or your wife if you're unhappy. It's your responsibility to do your best to make that marriage work, to be the best husband or wife you can be. But if you're not, get out of there. You're living a lie. If a person's not any good for you, find someone who is, or stay alone. It's better to do that. Or we do things that make us feel good, but that we know is really hurting us all the time, sabotaging our health, really killing us if we don't stop doing those things. A variety of different things we do that. Once again, we talked about drugs, alcohol, relationships, what have you, food, even something as good as food, we can abuse that. We rationalize it, and we can create a fantasy world for ourselves. God wants us focusing on truth. And that is good to focus on. That's healthy. Those are the things that are going to make you happy, the truthful things of this world. And look, we bombard ourselves sometimes with falsehood. You ever known anybody who has been addicted to soap operas? Maybe you've been there before in your life. Maybe you're there right now. Well, let me tell you, everybody in a soap opera is beautiful and rich and ruthless or young and restless or whatever the case may be. Everybody's melodramatic. That's not the real world. That's not how the real world operates. Not everybody's like that. In magazines and advertisements, the only people that they place any value on whatsoever are the young and the beautiful and the gorgeous. That's not the real world. TV, advertisers, the media in general, they're focused on presenting to us an alternate reality, not the real world. They want us to live in fantasy land so we can buy the products that they endorse. Even the reality shows on TV, they're so out of touch with reality, it's laughable. God wants us to focus and dwell on, meditate on, just really hone in on the truth, things that are true. And these are the things that are going to produce happiness in the long term and not give us a little spike of energy, give us a little shot of euphoria. That's not what He wants for us. He wants true happiness for us. Psalm 119, verse 104 and verse 128. Love Psalm 119. It just goes on forever. Talking about the Word of God, it's just a beautiful psalm. But in two verses of Psalm 119, the psalmist wrote, I hate every false way. Oh, to God that we could get there in our life, that we would just hate everything that is false. And stop embracing those things. False ways lead to destruction. Facing the truth, even if it's hard truth, even if it's a hard pill to swallow, is always the first step into getting your life straightened out. Always. The first step to getting your life going in the right direction is to admitting that you have a problem. That's truth. It hurts. Nobody likes to admit they have a problem, but it's the truth. I have a problem with drugs. I have a problem with alcohol. I have a problem with food, eating too much. Eating the wrong foods. I have a problem with being lazy. I have a problem with having a foul mouth. Whatever the case may be, we need to face up to the reality so we can do something about it. Psalm 119 also says over and over how much the psalmist loves the Word of God. He hates every false way, but he loves the Word of God because it's absolute truth. Don't just admit what is true, brothers and sisters in Christ and friends. That's a good step. That's a first step. That's a needed step. Don't stop there. Don't just admit what is true. Dwell on what is true. Dwell on it. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." Psalm 1:1-2, the very beginning, the very first two verses of the first psalm tells us, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Don't just meditate and dwell and think about truth. Think about, meditate on and dwell on the truth, the Word of God. When you're doing that, you're going to see some changes take place in your life. And they're going to be positive. You're going to be rewiring your brain. Get on the same brain wavelength as God is. Be with Him. Be on the same page with Him. Now, in the process of that, you might actually have to admit that you're in a religion that's not true. So many religions exist in the world. They all can't be true. They all teach different things, conflicting things, contrary things. They can't all be true. But it's our obligation to search for the truth and to dwell on the truth and accept nothing but the truth. In John chapter 18, that famous scene where Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate, that judgment seat there, right before he was crucified, and Jesus said to Pilate, "Everyone who is of truth hears my voice." And Pilate made that famous answer to that statement. He said, "What is truth?" Most people believe that truth just doesn't exist. Everything is relative. What's true for me is not true for you, and what's true for you is not true for me, and we can just accept each other's truth and be happy with each other and just get along and everything's just great and baloney, hogwash. If it's true, it's true. If it's false, it's false. It doesn't matter whether you believe in it or I believe in it, whatever the case is. Truth is truth, and a lie is a lie, and that's just that's the end of it. Truth is not relative. I don't know how many people were convinced that the world was coming to an end yesterday. But a lot of people had fun with that and played with that. But I imagine a lot of people were fully convinced of it. You know what they believed? They believed a lie. That was an absolute lie. They were in the wrong religion. They were in the wrong faith. Need to get out of there before the world end of the world does actually come and it's too late for them. Look, it is incumbent upon us, if we're going to dwell in truth and focus on truth and meditate day and night on truth, to make it our point to settle for nothing but the truth, to learn that truth and put it into practice. And look, if you don't learn it, you really can't focus on it. So it's our responsibility to learn it and accept it and practice it. Okay, but we're not going to go over all of these things in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. We'll hit several of them, but whatever is right is the next one we'll look at. The King James Version says, whatever is just. Let me ask you, how often do you dwell on things that are wrong? Think about it before you answer that question to yourself. How often do you really focus and dwell and think about all the things that are wrong with this world? Gas is $4 a gallon. Utility bills are going through the roof. The national debt's just off the charts. The headlines in the papers and the TV news is shootings, robberies, mothers killing their babies, explosions, wars in the Middle East, terrorism, on and on and on. Is that where you live? Now listen, those things are true. They're really happening. We shouldn't close our eyes to those things. We shouldn't turn a blind eye to them. They're serious issues. They're reality, and we need to pay attention to those, and we need to act on those things if we can. And we need to pray for those people in those situations, for sure. But is that where we live? Do we thrive on bad news? Is that what really gets our juices flowing? Is that our focus on life, is just to just go tell people the latest bad news, the item of bad news that's come out on the airwaves? Is that the truth that God wants us to dwell on? Always what's going wrong, always what's negative, always what's just horrible in life. What about the things that are going right? Aren't there a lot of things going right in this world? Is this not my Father's world? Yes, it is. Yeah, gas is $4 a gallon, but we have cars to drive in. Isn't that awesome? Our gas and light bill is more expensive than it ever has been, but we have gas and light. We have electricity. We have heating and air. That's awesome. It wasn't too long ago. People didn't have those luxuries. Not everybody's a murderer or a thief or a terrorist. There are some decent, God-fearing, honest, hard-working, selfless, stand-up people in this world. I'm looking at several of them. I thank God for you. I want to think about you and pray for you and appreciate you. More importantly, dwell on this. God loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. He gave you His Bible to talk to you. He gave you prayer so you can talk to Him. He established His church through His Son so that you could be a part of it, so you could have a spiritual family to love and enjoy and spend time with and to worship Him and to live in peace and to pray and to go to heaven. He opened heaven for you through the life and death and resurrection of His Son. Praise God, man. We have so many good things to dwell on in this life. Don't ignore the good things. Don't ignore the bad things either. Don't ignore the things that are going wrong, but don't dwell on them. Don't live there. Admit them. Do something about them if you can. And if you can't, pray and give it up to God and let Him take care of it. That's His job. Nothing's too heavy for our Lord to carry for us. How big and strong is your God? Mine can carry all of my weights and burdens and troubles. Well, next, the writer says, focus on, think on pure things. That word pure means stainless, clean, chaste, virtuous. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3, the writer there said, let no impurity be named among us, not even once. Don't even think a little bit about impure things, not even a hint of it. Don't even think about things that are not clean and wholesome and right. If we think dirty, nasty thoughts, you know what we're going to be? Dirty, nasty people. That's what we're going to, there's just no way around it. How we think is going to determine who we are. We think, oh, come on now, just a little bit of filth is not going to be that bad. Can I have just a little bit? Maybe just a little bit. Just a peek on that internet every now and then at that guy or that girl with that awesome body. Man, that person, you know, he's a 10. She's really hot. Or just a little bit of soft porn. Maybe just once a month. Or however often the swimsuit issue comes out in Sports Illustrated. Maybe that's once a year. Maybe just to look at that swimsuit edition. That would be enough for me. Not even once. Don't even peek at it. Not even a little bit. Don't even let it be named among you even one time. The apostle wrote there. Because what's going to happen or what can happen, look, it's harmful just looking at it once, but it can become habitual. It can form an addiction. Remember how those patterns form in the brain? Remember how those repetitive thoughts and emotions build those pathways and those highways and those circuits? You can form an addiction. That's the way our brain works. I'm glad it does, because we can form good habits, and we need to do that, but we can also form bad habits. Studies suggest that at least half of the male population in this country have a problem with pornography. Wrap your mind around that for a minute, okay? Nearly half of the male population, even in the church. Is that a startling figure? You know where it started? It started with a peek. It started with just a little glance, just a little look. That's how it all starts, with just a little taste, just a little pinch. Let me ask you this. Do you think that faith in Christ Jesus makes you immune to the plague of addiction? It doesn't. That's why it's so important to not think of any kind of impurity. Don't even let it in there. And if it comes in there, because look, invariably, those thoughts just jump in there sometimes, don't they? Even when we're not looking, even when we're not trying, pop, there they are, they're in there. Did I really just think that? What was I thinking? As soon as it pops in there, what do? You push it out. God's not going to hold you accountable for a thought that jumps in there, but if you harbor it, if you dwell on it, if you focus on it, you're in trouble. Push it out of there. Get rid of it and move on to the better things in life. Think no impure thoughts about your neighbor's wife or your neighbor's daughter or your neighbor's goods or what have you. Last one. Things that are of good repute or good report. In the King James it says good report. I love this one because I like what that word actually means. It means well-sounding. Praiseworthy, admirable. But that word well-sounding is interesting. That means the note of a tune ringing true with the previous note. It's a harmony in music. Things that are just harmonious and symphonic. Things that are just lovely to hear. Those are the things that are lovely to dwell on. Think on things that keep us in tune with God. In tune with His standard of conduct for us. Be in harmony with the will of God. And He says any virtue, anything that's praiseworthy, any excellent thing, not just the good things, not just the pure things, not just the right things, the excellent things, the things that are better, the things that are best, always be striving to improve the way you think so that you can improve the way you live. That's good for the individual. That's good for you personally. And look, that's good for your family. That's good for your neighbors. That's good for your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's going to make for a healthier and happier church if the individual parts are thinking right. If you're thinking right, it's going to help you to act right. And that's the practice. We talked about implementing that mindset, that thought process. Now the practice. He said in verse 9, everything you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Follow my example, he's telling us there. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Be imitators of me, Paul wrote, just as I am also an imitator of Christ. I've taught you how to think. I've showed you how to live. You think the way I'm suggesting you think, and you follow my example, and everything's just going to be great. Because look, Christ showed me. I'm showing you, but it was Christ who showed me. All I'm doing is following the way He lived. If you think excellent things, you dwell on praiseworthy things, you think the right things, you're going to be able to live the right way. But let me tell you what you cannot do. You cannot think the wrong way and live the right way. It just doesn't work. You can't pull that off. If you're thinking wrong, despicable, unhealthy, impure, unrighteous thoughts, you're going to be that person. Trim that out of there. Cut that off. And replace it with the good, healthy thought patterns. And then you're going to be able to put them into practice. We make it a lot more difficult on ourselves than it really has to be. Did you know that? It's really this simple. Get our minds right. Live our lives right. It really is. It's not always easy to pull off. But the formula is pretty simple. Imitate Paul. Imitate Timothy, imitate Tabitha, imitate Priscilla, imitate Jesus, imitate God. Think right, do right, talk right, be right. You're just not going to have anything in this world to complain about. You're going to be the healthy, happy, saved person that God wants you to be. And next and finally comes the promise. The thought process, the practice, and here's the promise. In verse 9, and the God of peace will be with you. Oh man, I love that. The God of peace will be with you. Think about what he said in verse 7. He promised that the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and mind. If we pray in everything with supplication and thanksgiving in our heart, if we're doing that, if we are focusing on God in prayer a lot, and we're thanking Him no matter what's going on in our lives for all the good things, and we're going to Him frequently and communing with Him. He said, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But then if we're dwelling on these positive thoughts, these good and healthy things, not just the peace of God's going to be with us, the God of peace is going to be with us. Wow. That's awesome to think about. He's not just going to give us peace. He's going to give us Himself. How is that so? It's real easy. If we're thinking these right and true and lovely and beautiful thoughts, we're dwelling where He dwells. We're paying Him a visit. He is righteous and honorable and honest and true and lovely. And when we are behaving that way, we're behaving like Him. We're walking right into His house and sitting down next to Him and dwelling with Him, spending time with Him. We're going where He lives. Where do you dwell? Do you dwell on the negative, on the earthly, on the lowly? Or have you set your mind in heaven where righteousness dwells? And truth and goodness and Christ and God the Father? If you're setting your mind there, that's where you live. You're there with Him. May I suggest to you that's the best place that you could ever be? Don't stay down here. If you're always focused on everything that's going wrong in this world, and there's a lot of that, you're just always going to be a depressed person. God doesn't want that for you. Focus on His Word. Focus on His Son. Focus on His church. Focus on good and right and holy and noble things. Life's just going to be so much better for you if you do that. Does that sound overly simplistic? The concept is easy and it's true and it's doable, but putting it into practice, it's going to take effort. And it won't come easily to all of us. You've heard the old saying before, haven't you? That old habits die hard. They do. Ask any smoker or ex-smoker just how hard it is to kick that habit. It's not easy. And that's the way life is. We form bad habits. We just can't get rid of them overnight. Even if we quit them, they're always there nagging at us, clawing at us, pulling at us. They want us back. We've formed those habits and they just don't want to go away. But if we break the old patterns and habits and replace them with the new and good and the healthy ones, that's when we'll be living the kind of life that God wants for us. A good, healthy, vibrant, spiritual life that He sent His Son to die for us so that we could have. Last passage of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. In reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self. Lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Folks, that's not something you do once and for all. That's not a quick hit thing. That's a process. But you got to start somewhere, and you got to start at some time and some place. I suggest, why not now? Why not tonight? Turn it around. We'll help you do it in everything, any way we can. Go ahead and pick up your songbooks. We're going to sing number 601. Number 601 in just a moment to give you an opportunity to obey the gospel this evening. You ready for a renewal? You ready for a brand new start? We need a complete makeover, but it starts with a few simple steps. Okay? It's not always going to be easy, but it's always going to be worth it. It starts with determining in your heart, in your mind, to turn from your sins. That's called repentance. To make up your mind that I'm not going to sin anymore. Will you sin again? You will, but you won't make excuses for it. And when you realize you've done it, you're going to turn from it again. You're not going to say, I'm only human, everybody does it. That's the old self. That's the old earthly, worldly, lowly way of thinking. That's not how God wants you to think. When you sin, admit it. Turn from it. Start all over again. It starts with repentance. And you can't renew yourself spiritually until you've had your sins washed away in the waters of baptism. Now look, the water doesn't save you. And the washing is not literal, but the removal is. The Bible tells us that clearly. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:38. How are your sins forgiven? You repent, you turn from them, and you're baptized to have them forgiven. And God washes, He wipes the slate clean. He forgives you. He gives you a brand new start. And then you can start building that new guy, that new gal that He wants you to build in the image of His own Son. And He'll help you every step of the way. As long as you stay true to His Word, as long as you stay in there, as long as you attend services, we'll help you as any way we possibly can. We'll be with you every step of the way as much as possible. Can we help you this evening? Take God up on His offer. Turn your life around. Make it new. Any way that we can help you to do that, we stand ready, willing, and able to help you. So you come up here and talk to me about what's going on in your life, the things you need help straightening out, and we'll get the ball rolling in the right direction. You come up here and tell me about those things right now as we're standing and singing.